In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Nine months before Elizabeth's delivery, something happened with Zechariah. Does anyone remember what happened with Zechariah? Anyone? What happened? He was mute. Why was he mute? He didn't believe him. Sure. And so 9 months before this point, Zechariah did not share the faith of St. Mary. So you know, before this point, St. Mary, when the angel appeared to her, she said, "Let it be to me according to your will." There was complete trust in the word of the angel. Zechariah, whatever his reason, did not repeat that faith. He didn't have that faith of St. Mary. And so whether it was logic, whether it was he lost hope, whether it was shock that an angel had appeared to him, we don't know, but he disbelieved the word of the angel. And so for 9 months he was silent. But that silence was not a punishment. It was a chance. It was a chance for transformation. God, because he loved Zechariah, because Zechariah was one of his priests, gave him a chance to experience what exactly was happening, and to experience it in silence. It was a chance for him to be transformed, a chance for to be changed. So fast forward then from that point until today, 9 months later. We don't know what happened in these 9 months in the life of Zechariah. We don't know what happened. But we can imagine. Let's remember he was a priest. Okay? He was a priest and he was a husband. So imagine a priest that can't talk. It's actually a beautiful life. You don't have to give sermons, you don't have to give Bible studies, you don't have to do anything. Imagine a husband that can't talk. Again, it's heaven, all right? It's heaven. Imagine all of these people telling him their sins and their problems and their difficulties and their issues. And Zechariah's only response is silence. Imagine his wife comes to him after the end of the day and she's complaining to him about this and what the kids did to her and what her sister did to her and what her mother did to her and what this person did to her. And then his only response is silence. And then imagine his wife telling him off because he didn't wash the dishes, he didn't do whatever. And again, his only response is silence. And then imagine his wife telling him off for being silent while she's telling him off. Okay? And again, his only response is silence. These 9 months were a time of silence for a person that needs to speak. A person that is constantly made to speak so that he can stop. So that he can live without distractions for 9 months and contemplate on the mystery of what is happening. Now, silence, according to the Desert Fathers, is actually the highest level of asceticism. It's the highest level of asceticism. There's no greater virtue, there's no greater way than to be silent. Saint Arsenius the Great said, he goes, "Many a time have I regretted speaking. Never once have I regretted silence." Okay? It's the greatest of virtues. And yet silence is something that doesn't make much sense to the people around us. If I decide to be silent for 6 months, all it does is cause confusion to the people looking at me. It can even provoke somebody. So that if you notice that, for example, if somebody's being told off about something and they're just sitting there silent with a little smile on their face, the other person goes, "What's wrong with you? Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you responding?" As we've experienced in our own marriages. All right? Why? Silence can be provocative to other people. But to the one that experiences the silence, true silence, it is illuminating. One young guy that confessed to me once asked me for an exercise. And so looking at him and knowing exactly what his problem was, I said to him, "Silence. You need to be silent. You just need to share in some silence. Live a life of silence." Not even one day had passed, and he sent me a message saying, "Abuna, silence has power." I said, "What happened? What happened? It's only been a day. It hasn't been 24 hours. What happened?" He said, "For the first time when I was driving in my car, I didn't have my radio on. I didn't make a phone call. I just stayed in silence." He goes, "Then I started to hear a little ding, 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 ding. And then I slowed down. The ding slowed down. Ding, ding. And I sped up. Ding, 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 ding. And I thought, what is that sound?" He goes, "So then I got out of my car and looked at the wheel and there was a nail stuck in my wheel. And if it wasn't for noticing for the silence so I could notice the sound, the metallic sound, who knows, the tire might have popped." And I said to him, "That's the power of silence for you. But that's the power of silence for all of us. We stop distractions. We stop the noise of the world so that we can see things as they really are. We can see the reality of that wheel. We can see the reality of the world that we ignore because of the distractions. Some time ago, I spent some time in an orphanage in Guatemala, in an Antiochian Orthodox convent. And it was a really beautiful time for me. For the first 1.5 weeks, something very strange happened. I got there and I was expecting that I was going to go and play with all these kids and do all these programs for them and maybe teach them English, just do something useful. Okay. I get there and instead, the first day no one speaks to me. And then the second day, as I'm sitting there in the orphanage, one of the nuns, a beautiful nun, came to me and said to me, okay, so this is what's going to happen. We'll give you the work when we want to give you the work. You just wait for us to tell you what to do. But don't ask questions. I said, all right, no problem. I won't ask questions. 1 week went. 1.5 weeks went. They gave me about 2 or 3 tasks in Spanish by pointing at things. So one said, go mow the lawn. One said, go cut the hedges. One said something else. No contact with the kids. And no one spoke to me for an entire week and a half. I didn't have a single conversation, not even a hello in English, for a week and a half. 1 week and a half I spent with occasional work, reading, listening. I think I read about 15 books in that week because I actually had nothing to do. There was no TV, there was no radio, there was nothing to do. Okay? Nothing to do besides church services. The first thing I noticed in that week was the sensation of loneliness, something I've never experienced before. I've never experienced loneliness before. And yet, because no one spoke to me, because no one had anything to do with me, no one was even allowed to say hello to me, I didn't speak a single word of English to anybody. I had nothing. I didn't have a phone. I had nothing. I experienced loneliness. And I knew how painful loneliness was. So with distractions and useless talk and all these kind of things, we hide that pain of that loneliness. Thank God I haven't had loneliness since. But because of that experience, I now can understand when somebody comes to me with loneliness. Why? Because when we stop the distractions, when we sit in silence, things change. The second thing that happened was this. I began to notice just how imperfect I was, just how weak I was, my reactions, my feelings. So that, for example, if somebody came and it was dinner time, and then the kids, when they're putting food on my plate, they only gave me half a plate of food, even though I'm double their size. Okay? In a normal situation, you get annoyed and you tell them, can you just put a bit more food on there, please? Just like put some food on there now. But I couldn't do that. I was sitting in silence. I couldn't speak to them. I wasn't allowed to speak to them. And so that feeling or that annoyance, I experienced it silently, almost like I was watching it as a third party, just watching it. If I found someone irritating, if somebody was annoying me, normally your reaction is you either do something about it, you tell them off, you tell them you're annoyed, or you might go and complain with a friend of yours and call up your friend and say, you know what, this person annoyed me, they really got my nerves, and I want to talk to you about it. And you let off some steam like that. But if you're silent, you don't have anyone to share that with. And so you watch that in silence from afar. You watch these feelings and these movements in yourself. You become aware of your reality. You become aware of just how imperfect you are. But it's more than this. You're not just aware of your reality. You're given the chance to put your hand on your reality and do something about it. And that's the power of the silence. That's why silence is such a powerful thing in the Desert Fathers. St. Anthony the Great once said, know yourself and know God. Know yourself and know God. For years I looked at those words and I didn't really understand them. What do you know yourself? So you know your name, you know what's wrong with you, you know, how do you know God? How do you know God? But if you give yourself a chance for silence and solitude, you will see God because you see reality. Things stop, the distractions stop, the noise stop, Facebook stop, shopping stops, music stops, TV stops, idle talk stops. And then I appreciate things as they are in their reality. For 20 years, something that most people don't know about St. Anthony, he spent 20 years locked up in a fort. He went trying to escape from people, wishing for silence. He went and hid himself in a fort in the middle of the desert. And he closed the doors and boarded up the doors so that he could never leave there. And the only way that people could give him things, when people started to realize he was there, a couple of messengers would come and give him some water and some food. But for 20 years, he was locked up in a fort. Someone would supply his drinking water, get rid of his waste. But otherwise, he was locked up in the fort. After 20 years, people had started to gather. Whole multitudes started to gather around his fort. Until eventually, his disciples couldn't take it anymore. And they went and they smashed down the door to his cell. And they forced him out of the cell. St. Athanasius, who was a friend of his, who wrote his biography, wrote this about him as he came out of the fort. So after 20 years of silence, his soul was free from blemish after these years, for it was neither contracted as if by grief, nor relaxed by pleasure, nor possessed by laughter or dejection. For he was not troubled when he beheld the crowd, nor was he overjoyed at being saluted by so many, but he was altogether even as being guided by reason and abiding in a natural state. So St. Athanasius is saying this. When St. Anthony emerged after 20 years of silence, he wasn't disturbed by grief, nor was he comforted by pleasure. He wasn't disturbed by a crowd, nor was he overjoyed when they admired him. He had become dispassionate. He had become, in a way, detached from the world, separate from the world. Why? Why? Because silence gave him a chance to see himself as he was. Silence gave him a chance to see the movements in himself, to see the anger, to see the irritation, to see the pride, to see the joy that he would get when somebody would kiss his hand. And he saw these things in himself. And seeing these things in himself, he started to work on them. It gave him a chance to be transformed. It gave him an awareness. It gave him clear vision. This is what we miss. This is what I miss. We think that we're not saints because we're unholy, because we're impure, because we're angry, because we've got problems in us, because this, because that. And we can't do anything about it. We can't change. I am who I am and I can't change. Just accept it as I am. I'm an angry person. That's just who I am. I'm an asabi person. That's just who I am. I'm a greedy person. That's just who I am. I'm a lustful person. Just who I am. It's not true. It's not true. The reason why we think these things can't change, the reasons why sometimes we don't even think these exist in us when every single person around us knows we're an angry person and I think I'm the calmest person, is because I have no silence in my life. I have no silence. Everything is distraction. Everything is noise. I can't sit in the car for 2 minutes without putting my radio on or by calling somebody or by messaging somebody, which is really dangerous. All right? Or I can't spend 2 minutes in my room without rushing out of it and putting TV on or looking at Facebook or going shopping or going watch a movie. Why? 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 Is that then the reason why there's no change in my life? Is that then the reason why there's no transformation? Because I can't stop distraction? Because I can't stop noise? Because I can't see my reality as I am? So I think this is the reason why these 9 months continued like this for Zechariah. He spent 9 months in silence as a gift from God to see things as they really are. To see his faith, or maybe to see the lack of his faith. To see his hope in God, or maybe to see his lack in hoping in God. And to prepare himself to witness the salvation of humanity that will come in Christ's incarnation. We all have the capacity for silence. Some of us say, you know, but I can't do this. I can't do talks. I can't do sermons. I can't do a Bible study. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't do this. Maybe I haven't got legs. I can't do matanyas. Maybe I haven't got arms. I can't do the sign of the cross. But we can all practice silence. All of us, no matter our age, no matter how old we are, how young we are, we can all practice silence for a period of the day, a little moment of the day that we say for that moment, enough, enough distraction, enough noise. Let me sit with God and see myself as I really am. And then maybe, like St. Anthony says, I will know myself. And if I know myself, I will know God. For a period of time, each day, we need to practice silence. That can be 5 minutes. That can be 10 minutes. It can be half an hour. But spend time in silence. At the end of the liturgy, we're going to give you some books called Quiet Time Books. And we'll talk about that after to show you a practical way of living that life of silence on a daily basis. May God give us all to know this gift that was given to Zechariah, to truly sit in silence before God, to contemplate who we are in our reality and see God in his reality. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.